nowadays, we are living in the day and age of progression and advancement. And in this day and age, one of the visible factors that we see is construction. And because, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, in all the different sectors of life, people are progressing or advancing, promoting each other. And we see that the sector of construction, etc., we can see visibly that different types and looks of buildings and structures are being erected and constructed. And especially we see that a lot of emphasis is put on the height of the building. How tall is the building? We see that with time, buildings are getting taller. First floor, second floor, then I don't know, maybe it's 100 floors or 120 floors nowadays that buildings go so high. And they're stood firm and high and tall into the sky. So this is the day and age of advancement or promotion or progression in which we see tall structures being constructed. And we don't know what will occur in the time ahead and in the future. Now, if we look at these structures, the tall buildings, how is it that they achieve this result where they are standing very tall? It's not the number of floors that is really the achievement. In actual fact, it is the foundation of the building that holds the secret to the success of that building. And that's why very tall structures are erected and are able to stand tall into the sky. Sometimes it occurs that if somebody is building something, a structure, first floor, and then he wants to go beyond onto the second floor, and then the architect will come or the engineer will come, the structural engineer will come and see, even if you want to do an extension or increase the number of floors, that engineer or architect will assess that, is there capability here in the foundation for the building to be extended, etc. So if the foundation is strong, they'll say, yeah, you can increase the floors to this much or this much to X number of floors. So the more the foundations are correct and calculated correctly in the beginning and strong, then you can build on high number of floors, 100 floors or 150 floors you could go up to theoretically. So it's not the result of the number of floors or the strength of the floors, it's the foundations. If they're correct, then you can increase in the size. If the foundation is weak, then yeah, you can carry on building high, but then you see disasters occur. If a storm comes or a hurricane comes, then we get that effect. One brother was showing a clip of Dubai where a hurricane came. And it was surprising to see that a very tall building, it was just like a child's toy, that it collapsed to the ground due to that gust of wind. So what did we realize? What is the root cause of that? The reason was that the building looked nice, tall and incomparable. But what was the defect? That the foundation wasn't good enough. It was a weak foundation, so the building fell to the ground. That's what we see. So the reason for giving this example was this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us the deen. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And this deen of Islam that Allah ta'ala has given to us, the similitude is very comparable to a building. The deen is similar to a building, a tall structure. And we can construct as many floors as we want in this building to the heights. Here in the world, we cannot maybe go beyond 100. But there's no limit to the floors that we can construct in our building of the deen, our life of the deen of Islam. But the reason is the same, that the building can go higher and higher and higher if the foundations are good. If our foundation of our deen is not good, strong, then we can increase the height of the floors. But as soon as that gust of wind comes or the storm comes, the building will collapse. The deen will collapse. Our deen will collapse. There's a very famous hadith. It's called Hadith Jibreel, Hadith Ihsan. And this hadith is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith, that once all of us companions were sat, and then this stranger came And he went and sat very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to this extent that his knees touched the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in a narration it states that he placed his hands on the thigh of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with adab, with manners. And the companion said, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said that we looked at him closely, we had not seen him before. He was a stranger, but he wasn't a musafir. There were no signs of tiredness, or he wasn't disheveled or tired, or the signs of fatigue or journey on him. So we were watching him, and he asked questions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And first he asked, what is Iman? With regards to belief, what is Iman? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied about Iman. What is Iman? That the aqaid, the beliefs, belief in Allah, belief in the angels of Allah, belief in the prophets of Allah, the kitabs, the books of Allah, and qiyamah, the hereafter. And then he asked, he said, you have said correctly. So himself he was asking, and then he confirmed and said, you have said correct. Then he said to the Prophet, Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is Islam? And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam defined Islam: fasting, zakah, prayer, hajj, the amal, the deeds, all of them, these are Islam. Then he asked, he said, you have said correctly. Then he asked the third question, that what is Ihsan? What is Ihsan? And then Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined Ihsan, that a man should worship Allah as if he is seeing Allah. And if we don't have that feeling emotion, then at least the second alternative situation is that Allah is seeing us. That we should feel that Allah Ta'ala is seeing us. And after that he departed. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel, this man was Jibreel alayhi salam, who came to teach you your deen. And the whole of the deen was summarized in these questions and these answers. So the first question was aqaid, belief, iman, and then amal. So this is all the building of Islam, yeah? The aqaid, the beliefs, and amal deeds. And we can construct as many stories and flows in one. Aqaid, belief, and amal. We can increase our aqaid and our beliefs and amal and deeds. And this is proven from Quran and hadith. And these increase. For example, this hadith we've just heard, that somebody, for example, who reads this hadith, his iman will increase and strengthen. And for another person, it will make no difference at all. And it will not go down or up. Different conditions. So that's why the Quran states that some people who read the verses of the Quran, their iman increases and gets stronger. And others, it doesn't make any effect. No difference at all. So different feelings, different emotions. We have different buildings, we see. You could have different buildings next to each other, side by side, and high and tall. But there's difference within the heights and the stories. So here now, we have the building of Islam. We have aqaid, we have belief, and we have the amal, the deeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what is the foundation then of Islam? Upon which foundation is the building of Islam constructed? Yeah, like we have the physical foundations of buildings. So the third question that was asked and replied to, that Hazrat Jibreel asked, what is Ihsan? So this is the factor that when a person does ibadah, it is as if he should feel that he is seeing Allah. Otherwise, it should feel that at least Allah is watching him. The ulama ikram, the scholars have stated that this is that foundation in reality. This is that foundation which is being referred to. And this is not linked to aqidah or to amal, any other deed. Because amal are performed by our bodies, fasting, hajj, zakah, prayer. Our bodies perform. So what is this linked to then? The heart. Ihsan, the foundation of the deen of Islam, is related, linked to the heart. So what we realize is that our whole building of Islam, of deen, of aqidah, a tall building, first we go to the first floor, then the second floor. So we can construct as many floors as you want on top of these. But when can we construct the floors and increase them? When our foundation is strong. And what is the foundation based on? The heart. The heart. So when the foundation becomes stronger, then alhamdulillah, our building can become taller and taller and stronger. So the stronger we make the foundation, in other words, as much as the heart is strong, then our building will be taller and stronger. If our foundation is true and strong. If the heart is true and strong. For example, there's a building and you want to You want to, if we look at it, it's tall, looks beautiful, decorated, internally decorated, nice painting, electrical fixtures, fittings, and people say, wow, nice, beautiful building, very good, it's glowing and shining. And a little bit of a wind comes, and or a hurricane comes, or a storm comes, and then the building will drop vroom, to the ground. So the beauty will have finished for that building, because the foundations were weak. That building's foundation was, so in the same way, the human being, we see many deeds the human being has. Yeah, because that's the building, isn't it? You'll have good amal, nice amal, beautiful deeds. Ramadan will come, Hajj will come, Umrah will come, Tahajjud, prayer in the night, Nawafil, voluntary prayers, Faraid, compulsory. And we think that, MashaAllah, I've done a very good achievement. This is something we need to hear and listen to. This is our basis, isn't it? Just like I've explained the basis of the strength of the building. So what will happen is that, is the foundation strong or not? Because that's the real, genuine factor we need to look at. Now, if my foundation is not strong, then just like the winds come, or the gusts of wind come, or the storms come, or hurricanes come, and the buildings fall, in the same way, the storms come in life. Calamities come, difficulties come, problems come. So when the difficulties arise, iman is tested. It can go up, down, and it can shake, and amal start to end and decrease. And some people, they collapse to the floor like a pack of cards. And all, just like the building collapsed, the carpet goes, the wallpaper, interior decoration, and electrical fixtures and fittings, everything's destroyed. So as soon as the building of the deen collapses through a problem, difficulties always arise in life, always. Just like the weather changes, the situation of life changes. They always arise, tests and challenges. Always iman is tested. Allah Ta'ala tests the iman of the believer. And people, within a second, they sell their iman. And how do we realize if the foundation of our iman is strong? Is my deen, the foundation, good and strong? We realize at that time, haram, halal, Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, Allah Ta'ala has given to us, amal and deeds. We realize at that time that insan, and which point is his iman qaim and existent and strong. That how quickly does he leave the things Allah Ta'ala said, halal, does he accept and uphold? And haram, unlawful, does he accept and leave? In other words, how much is the strength of iman that the person is prepared to accept? That the good times he's praying salah, when the test comes, he leaves salah. That, for example, a person's hands extend to haram street where he's forgotten that Allah Ta'ala has called this haram. Does our Sharia allow me to do this action or not? So all of this position, all of these examples tell us and explain to us, inform us that what is the strength of my building? And let's not trust this, because there are many other tests to come in life. What will happen at the time of death? That will we be able to rely on the strength of our iman? When that jolt of the death will come, will we rely on our iman? Will we succeed? So we will realize at that time that is the building strong, mazboot, when the person departs from the world stating the kalima, reciting the kalima. That's when we'll recite that iman, was it strong, was the foundation strong. But this is not a game, that we construct the building in the world. We're very cautious in making the building or the foundations. For example, we have the fact that 60 floors have to be built on this, in this building. So go and ask an architect, a structural surveyor or engineer, that he makes calculations. What is the volume of amount of material that must be poured into this foundation to allow 60 floors to be constructed? So brothers, this building of iman, our building of iman, is so important. So have we ever paid attention to the foundations of our building of Islam, of our iman? That how strong is the foundation? We are erecting the stories upon stories, floors upon floors, alhamdulillah, morning till evening. We are doing amal and deeds. But if we're increasing the floors, then what is the condition of the heart of the foundations? Have we looked towards the foundation whilst we're constructing the building and the floors? Have we paid attention to our salah? Will my building withstand the problems and the storms and the hurricanes, or will it collapse to the ground? So morning and evening we are wasting our deeds. Morning and night we waste our deeds. We waste our struggle. We waste our efforts because the foundation is weak. So we cannot trust on any of our amal. Sometimes we'll lie, sometimes we'll slip and fall down, sometimes we'll go towards haram. Which time will I do a bad action? We have totally no trust on our own deeds. We cannot rely on them. And this is the reality of the life of the mu'min, of the believer. So we should learn how to live life in its real form, in its genuine form, in its proper way. And if we really do understand that a very big responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, that how should I fulfill that responsibility that I can reach to falah and I can attain falah, success in this world and the akhirah, then we should practice those things and do those actions that will give us the maximum benefit. First and foremost, every man and woman, brother and sister, mu'min, the duty that we all have is to strengthen our foundations, isn't it? Before we start going towards increasing the number of floors and the height of our structure, we need to strengthen our foundation. If our foundation of our iman is not strong, then the deeds will not come in use to us. If my heart is not strong, because the foundation is based on the heart, isn't it? The third question where Hazrat Jibreel asked about Ihsan, and Rasulullah explained Ihsan, this is all related to the heart. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the material to strengthen the foundation of the heart, and that is Dhikr Allah. Dhikr Allah that Allah Ta'ala has given us for this reason. That there's nothing else that can strengthen the heart and iman. What is the material that will strengthen the foundation of the heart? The dhikr of Allah. Very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if the heart is correct, this piece of flesh in your whole body will be correct and will function correctly. A beautiful building will be constructed and beautiful amal deeds will emanate from the building of Islam. But if the heart is spoilt, the whole body is spoiled. So it's a very clear message that if the foundation is strong, then alhamdulillah, don't worry. These amal deeds will take us to the heights, and the many disasters may come, or storms or hurricanes or earthquakes will come. Big problems may come. But can they dare that if our foundation is strong, alhamdulillah, then alhamdulillah, the building will not even shake or shudder due to the wind or the storms or the hurricanes. Alhamdulillah, the Sufi Ikram, the people who are close to Allah, they took hold of with the action of dhikr of Allah, the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah. And this is the reason that we do dhikr. The main reason to do dhikr, to implement dhikr, is this. That is stated, to attain falah, success. To do dhikr in abundance, in high quantities, to attain success. All the deeds we will do, inshallah, alhamdulillah, the building will be constructed, the heights will be there, the stories and the floor will be there. If we strengthen the heart, if we strengthen the foundation, and Allah has given us the tariqah, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, do my dhikr with abundance, in abundance, in a high quantity. Regularly. Now, the people who do dhikr, the men and women, and then there are those who don't do dhikr. And the difference between them is like the difference between the heavens and earth. When will we see this difference? When will we notice the difference? When is the difference? Well, for example, there's one building and its foundation is very strong and is a tall building. And then there's another building which is beautiful and looks more nice and higher, taller, but its foundation is weak. The storm comes, that second building, the earthquake comes, and that building that had a weak foundation will realize which building was weaker. It will collapse to the ground, and the other building, the first one, will stand firm because its foundation was strong. So when such times come, when examples come, Allah Ta'ala tests the iman and the deen of people. Allah Ta'ala tests the building when such opportunity. And every day these events come, and we close our eyes, we give up. Oh no, the dunya is saying this, what difference does it make? Then understand straight away that the foundation is very weak, that this building will not be able to withstand. And one sudden hurricane or gust of wind will come, and all the amal will collapse. And the person will not be able to withstand that storm. So in the world, we realize that from one calamity, from one disaster, from a slight storm, a gust of wind, we realize that how strong is my foundation. And those people whose foundation is strong, whose iman is strong, the question never arises that they will tread into the wrong actions, that their hands will go towards haram or their eyes will go towards haram. We cannot imagine this. And why does this happen with us? Because we know the hukum of Allah. We know that this is the order of Allah. Do this or don't do this. So why do we implement the bad actions, the wrong actions? Because our foundations are weak. And our heart, it then shakes and it melts at the time when something wrong is in front of us. And we don't pay attention to this. The why have I committed a sin? Why have I implemented a sin? Why do I feel like in my heart I should do this? Why do I have greed for the dunya? Why do I have a desire that I go towards haram and unlawful actions? Why don't I feel bad when I want to go towards bad actions? I don't feel any shame. I don't have any care that the life I am passing and all of us, our lives that we are passing in our homes, inside, outside the house, that... how much percentage of my life is according to the Sharia? Very low percentage. And maybe if we see that 50%, 70% of a person's life is in accordance to deen, and even that occurs with a lot of difficulty. So totally, as Allah has explained, wherever I am, however I am, the successful person is that person. His salah is successful. His hajj is successful. Everything of his is successful if life is according to Allah's framework of deen. And this is when we will find out at the time when the test is carried out. When the asal, the genuine test comes, the examination comes, then we'll realize whose building was strong and whose was weak. But alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, remember one point, a very important solid point, that the building, if the foundation is strengthened, and the person who tries in the world to strengthen his building, foundation, his building will never be spoiled, it will never collapse, it will remain strong. Strong. Have you ever seen that there's somebody, a builder, he's constructing a building, and 6-7 months he concentrates on the foundations of that building. And he spends hundreds of thousands on the foundation. He says, I want to concentrate on this, the calculations right. And he says that I want to pour such a strong foundation that maybe I will construct another building on top of this, or extra stories or floors on this. And we tell the engineer this, don't we? So what do we do? And we look at the map and we look at the calculations and we look at the sketches and we say, okay, I'm going to do an extension and I'm going to do increase in height from here or here. So we'll tell the builders that make sure the foundation is strong so I can extend and put extra floors. So when we put the planning permission request in, so they will look at that. Is there a strength in the foundation? They will give the permission. Some people, they construct without the permission. They don't care. Just like we have deeds upon deeds upon deeds. But when the mahir, the builder, the person who's doing the construction, who knows that this building will fall and it will give loss, not today, maybe after 10 years it will drop. There's no strength in the foundation. So same way that Islam, Iman, Aqaid, there will be no life and strength if the foundations are weak. We can do as many amal as we want. We can practice as many deeds as we want. But if haram is continuing in our life, and our life is opposite to Sharia, and we see all of these things, then it doesn't matter how many amal we construct and how many amal we implement, but one day the building will fall. So what's the best tariqah? That when we construct the building, and I'm talking about those people who they are careful and cautious and have regard for the hereafter and have khawf and fear of Allah and have an understanding that we are going to die. We are going to depart from this world. But the person who loves the dunya today, he won't understand what I'm saying. The penny will not drop in that person's mind. He will not understand or accept it. So what sort of talk is this? What dunya talking about thereafter? But those people who have khawf, who are khayf, who know that when the angels will come and ask me, or when maut will come, when death will come, and this dunya will be detached from me and taken away from me, and I will be standing at that time. And I will be looking for my deeds, and the building will be dropping and collapsing because my foundation was weak. And the basis of my deen was weak. And in the world, a person will realize when a person is doing something bad in the dunya, a bad action against Sharia, against the deen of Islam, then he realizes himself straight away that my foundation is weak, my building is collapsing, is dropping. He will realize himself or herself that I'm going against Sharia, or I don't have the strength to follow the sunnah, that these are the two ruh, the spirit of the deen, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnah and sharifa. Sunnah Sharifa, his way, and the mahol, the environment, society will make us, influence us to go against the deen. We realize that the foundation of our deen is too weak. The mu'min, his foundation, the basis of the deen is like this, that Rasulullah said, look at my sahaba, that if you spend equivalent to Uhud, and even if they spend a minute amount, but they will have spent more and attained more because their building is so strong, the foundation of their so strong, the foundation of the deen and the iman and the amal, that nothing can make them shake, nor hunger will make them wilt, nor will any other emotions make them wilt. No problem of the world will make them
turn around and run away. That they will practice the deen due to the foundation of their heart of the iman, very strong. And they will implement what the Quran will say, what the hadith will say, what Shara and Sunnah will say. And this is what the mu'min should be like. And the person who doesn't have this feeling, my brothers, the Quran and hadith tell us clearly that we are in deception, our building is very weak, and it will collapse suddenly. We won't realize where's the building gone. When a building collapses, there's no trace of that building left after that. Everything, and I'm telling you in accordance with the Quran and the Hadith, Allah Ta'ala has given this guidance that yes, those people have made effort on their foundation. What is that effort? That morning, night, Allahu, Allahu, Allah, 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 dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. What is that person doing? That just like the foundation is poured, and the concrete is poured, and the strength is made, the foundation is strong. So the person who wants success in the Akhirah, he implements and strengthens his foundation in accordance to the specification of material Allah Ta'ala has specified. And what is that? Allah, Allah, dhikr Allah, dhikr Allah, remember Allah. And there's an objective of doing dhikr, isn't there? We don't do dhikr for no reason. There has to be a maqsad, an objective. There's a reason that Allah Ta'ala has told us, instructed us to do his dhikr, to remember him. And all of this is our benefit. The person who does the dhikr of Allah, who makes effort, 6-7 months he digs and digs and strengthens the foundations. And remember this point, that those individuals who take hold of the dhikr of Allah and make effort on the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah, good news for those people, because their foundations are being strengthened, and inshallah their building will not drop, it will not collapse. The person who does dhikr of Allah, he will stand firm in all situations. But we see that if the foundation is not strong, we need to keep us analyzing, calculating, making the examination. That is the building strong? That is my hand going towards haram? Do I feel like doing something against Sharia? And when I get to this position, while I do dhikr, just like we strengthen the foundation in a building, and when then that building is constructed and the stories and the floors are increased, we're confident that yeah, we can build on this. So what is the sign for us? That when our body and our heart accepts the Quran, the hadith, and it wants to follow it, then we should understand that our dhikr, our remembrance of Allah has strengthened our foundation. And this situation comes, that hundreds of thousands of people have strengthened their foundation, or did it whilst they were living, and they left this world successful. And that's why this dhikr of Allah action is totally according to an objective. And that's why the walis of Allah say that don't leave the dhikr of Allah, don't look at taste or kashf or karamat or being a wali or heights or low, nothing. Don't look at any physical result. The objective of doing dhikr, after we do dhikr of Allah, what do we need to look towards? What do we need to pay attention towards? That have I done an action against Sharia? Am I doing a non-Islamic action? And this is what I need to pay attention towards. That have we done any action against Islam, against Sharia, any of Allah Ta'ala's laws or principles? All of them, none of them am I breaking. I accept them all and I uphold them all. When I see this, when we do dhikr of Allah and strengthen our foundation, we keep on digging and analyzing and doing dhikr morning, evening, day and night. When we feel and see that we have got to this maqam, first the person was a little spot, then the khawf came into the heart, then he started to do more effort. Oh no, this is haram. Then he tries to save himself from that sin. And the stage comes, then eventually, ultimately, by doing dhikr, the person reaches to that point, the question doesn't arise, I'm not going to do this sin. When a person gets to this maqam, then the good news comes that the person, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِهُونَ. He is purified, his heart is pure, and you have succeeded. So this is a very big objective, isn't there, for doing dhikr? Then both of these measurement bases we need to put in front of us. Not that I'm just doing dhikr upon dhikr upon dhikr. I am strengthening the foundation. So keep on looking at the building. May not be that I just keep on strengthening the foundation. Then the hajj and zakah and the prayer, that I need to make them good and look beautiful. And what does a person do when he makes a building and then it collapses due to the gust of wind or the hurricane or the storm? And then all of the rock and the stone and the glass will collapse to the ground. So what is the niyyah for doing the dhikr of Allah? Do we understand? This is a very important thing to understand. We need to understand this. Very essential. We need to keep comparing ourselves against the Quran and the Hadith. That I'm doing dhikr, I'm making effort, I'm strengthening my foundation, I want to construct my building. So are my actions in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah? And as my foundation will come stronger and stronger and stronger, Allah Ta'ala will elevate our darajat and our levels and our iman and our deeds and our everything in Islam. And another point, the beautiful point that comes to my mind, Allah Ta'ala says dhikr kathiran kathira. Why is Allah Ta'ala said that? Until today I have not understood the definition of kathir. 1,000, 2,000, 100,000, 15,000, 1.5 million, 2 million dhikr of the heart. This is not the meaning of dhikr kathir. Allah Ta'ala has utilized such a word to define zikr, how it should be done, kathir. And we see here that there's no limit. And the reason for this is what? Because Allah Ta'ala says that when you construct this building, and the levels of this building, and the stories, and the darajat, the strength of the building will be to your zikr, kathir and kathir. Allah says, I will elevate and strengthen your building. So there's no limit to the strengthening of the foundation of our Islam. Allah says, there's no limit. There's no upper limit. Allah says it's without a limit. So Allah Ta'ala says that dhikr, after a person does dhikr, what he will attain, what she will attain upon the foundation, then as much as strong is that building, that Allah says without any limit, Allah Ta'ala says, from my hisab, I will elevate your darajat and your status. And this is dhikr of Allah that gives this. And do we make a fuss due to this? I say that we should be so grateful that subhanAllah, we've started to dig our earth, our foundations, haven't we? Have we dug? Are we strengthening our foundations? At least we're doing this. And that person who makes effort, who starts doing dhikr and keeps on doing dhikr, keeps on doing dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says that the question doesn't arise that that person will not attain benefit. His darajat are increasing, his levels are increasing. We can here imagine that what we were before, and when we came to dhikr, and now we are sat in dhikr, there's such a big difference we see within us. And the same difference here that I explained. And what? Due to what? We haven't got wings, we're not flying, we're not kush, we haven't got dreams or visions. The difference we will see is that how cautious am I now? I've developed caution and regard to the deen. That if the salah is left, I feel it. And jama'ah congregation, I fikr. And my hands, it takes a long time for them to extend towards haram. Or for my tongue to say something wrong. Or to suppress the anger. I'm doing this now. So before I was weaker, now I'm thinking that our amal wa haram, I should decrease these or leave these sins. So the fikr has come into our life that we are feeling it due to the dhikr of Allah. What a difference, what a big difference. And those who are not doing this, and we cannot imagine that person can attain something. Doesn't matter how high that building is, but within a gust of wind, a storm, that building will collapse. And this is the dhikr of Allah. This is the result of the dhikr of Allah. There's no limit to this. There's no upper limit to this. There's no limit to the amount of dhikr we should do. That's why I stated that don't see that, oh, I've completely started to follow Sharia. That fear that we need to have in our hearts. And the examples have been given us, the Sahaba Akram, the companions radiallahu anhum, as that started to come into our lives, and I'm sitting in the morning and evening and doing dhikr of Allah. I am doing dhikr of Allah, but what is the result? We need to look at the results. Physical results. And this is not the physical result that I've become a wali, or I've become a khalifa, I've been given khilafat, I've become this and that. This is nothing. There has no link to the deen. This is all material. This is material. This is temporary. This is nafs and desires. Because this has no link with the result of a dhakir. The real result is that after a person gets khalafa or increase in level, that we commit a sin or we leave the laws of Allah. No. This is not the reason. SubhanAllah. Ask a wali of Allah that this is not the reason. Rather, the person should be, he becomes more cautious and careful because he's becoming an example for people. He sat in front of people. Hazrat used to tell me with firmness and used to say very strictly that not for a second take your eyes off the ball. That don't fall into this deception that you are successful and you have students and you are a peer or a sheikh. No, never think like this. That you need to have more worry on your own self. Why are you worried about other people? Allah Akbar. But when a person starts to feel Islam, I am the best and I'm pious, and look at this person, who these other people around me, they're not good people, they're sinners. No, we should not think like this. We need to remember. Let me just go a bit further. A few, three, four points have come to my mind. Shall I communicate to you? Do you understand what I'm saying? These are the words of the fakir. They're like this. So write this down. Make the notes. A very beautiful point has come to my mind. Isn't it? Do you understand? Everyone understands what I'm saying? Easy, isn't it? You understand what I'm saying? The points? What have you understood? What have you understood? We have understood this. That Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, Allah's remembrance, will give us the strength in our Islam and our Iman. This is the greatest name of Allah. And this, the greatest result will be that we don't implement actions against Sharia. And the laws that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we live within those laws and the circle of Islam. If we're feeling ashamed or weak, or what will this person say, what will that person say, then look at Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Let me tell you, this was his Iman. In the expedition of Badr, look at the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions of radiyallahu anhum. There's no difference between they're human beings, we were human beings, they were Sahaba Ikram. We say, oh, we can't be saved, and they were the best. Allah Ta'ala says, they were examples for you. They're examples for you because you have to also be like this and follow the footsteps. Not just talk about their stories. Oh, look, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Bilal, and he did this, and that person did this. And this is not how you strengthen your iman, by reading their stories. Never did the iman become strong due to talking about them? Or will it become, if we want to make our building tall, strong, robust, then only one action will make it so? Dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. No other action. The question doesn't arise. Anyone who wants to become a strong Muslim without dhikr of Allah, I say it openly, the person who doesn't do dhikr of Allah, he's minus, minus, minus in the book of Allah, in the kitab of Allah. I'm totally openly saying this in accordance with the Quran and Hadith that run back towards the dhikr of Allah. The person can never be successful. The man or the woman who doesn't do dhikr of Allah can never be successful. He doesn't have a foundation. She doesn't have a foundation. I don't say that the deeds on there. You can. There will be deeds and amal, but you'll have that building which has no foundation or weak foundation. The gust of wind comes, it will collapse. You'll see a person, he's just come back from doing Hajj, and then after a few days he's committing sins. And he's drinking Zamzam water, and he's giving others to drink water, and then he's sinning on top of that. I can show you examples. Morning and night, this is happening. Morning and evening, day and night. Day and night. That Haji Sahab, mashallah, different people, they're doing these actions, but they're going towards wrong as well at the same time. And it shows us the building, the foundation is weak, and those whose foundation is strong, one Hajj is enough for the whole life. One Hajj is enough. Enough. And on top of that, just like I said to you, the Quran explains about the mu'mins, the believers, that those people, the mu'mins, that when my verses descend, when they read, Allah Ta'ala says that the iman increases and they are promoted. In the same way, those people have the strong foundation when he goes to Hajj, and as soon as he sees the Kaaba, his iman increases so many times over. And this is the reason that Allah Ta'ala says the person who makes effort on his foundation and on his heart, his darajat, his iman, his status increases, increases, increases. A beautiful point comes to my mind with regards to dhikr, that you are those who are doing dhikr of Allah, mashaAllah. And you are fortunate, aren't you? Aren't we? We are so lucky. Look at the difference that has been made to us. If I tell you another point, you will become so happy in your good fortune. So happy. SubhanAllah. Now, one point is coming to my mind. Should I tell you? Now, look here. The reward for dhikr. Okay, one point has come to my mind. The reward for dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a job, a function, isn't it? For our objective of life. Allah ta'ala has given us a duty to implement. Allah ta'ala has given us one thing to do. That you will come to me. You will come to me with amal, with deeds, whatever you're doing. So you need to do one action. That you need to strengthen your foundation. An extra job Allah Ta'ala has given us. That, are there millions of people doing this, strengthening their foundation? Those who are strengthening their foundation, Allah has given an extra job. That make effort. Make effort. That you're doing dhikr in the morning. We say, oh, this isn't for that. I don't have to do it. Oh, it's okay. I can do it sometimes, a few minutes, and then we leave the gathering. So is there any emphasis in a person's heart? No. Now, can you see the emphasis? There is, isn't there? But Allah Ta'ala is so kareem and merciful in His fadl and His grace and His blessings that He's given to us. Now, listen here. That is it our benefit or Allah's benefit? Tell me if we do dhikr. Say it loud. It's our benefit. Allah says, okay, so it's your benefit. You're doing the action. But let me give you a reward on top of this as well. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala could have said that no rewards. Just do this amal. Do this action. And it's for your benefit. And you need to do this. Of course we do it. We wouldn't look towards thawab. But is our attention going towards thawab? We'd be just worried about ourselves. That Allah Ta'ala has instructed us that we have to do dhikr. May Allah accept this action. And thawab would not even come into our minds. But Allah Ta'ala is saying, you must do dhikr. Allah says, on top of this, you made effort. You're doing dhikr for your own benefit. For yourself. It's not for my benefit, Allah says. But Allah says, on top of this, I will not leave you empty handed. When you do dhikr, I will give you such a reward that you cannot imagine. SubhanAllah. What is the reward? Tell me. What is the reward? That there is no reward that can be compared to the reward of dhikr. The rewards that are attained due to doing dhikr of Allah, no other action can come. We hear that we get this and so many angels come, they descend and Jannah, the doors will open. Here, let me tell you a new reward today. A beautiful, unique and excellent reward, scientific reward. That insan, you know, we are human beings and science tells us, explains to us. I'll give you a little bit of a hint. I won't say the total point today. That we will comment, we will discuss this in depth again after today. I'll give you a light hint that we are insan. We are human beings. And science says that the human being, for example, this brother sitting, this person sitting, you're sitting, I'm sitting in front of you. And we are constantly physical form of human beings? No, we're not. Constantly. Within us, we have the khaliya, which are the cells. Yeah, we have the cells within us, membrane cells. Yes, say it loudly. The cells. You've heard this, isn't it? Scientific word. That everything, every creation, piece of creation has cells. And how many cells are there within our body? Science has counted that in one time, at one time, within a person, there are so many, I don't know the exact amount in English, that there will be millions upon millions upon millions upon millions, keep on increasing the count. And then how many? 6 kharab. That within us, me, you, all of us, there are very small cells, and that is the amount that is within one person. Do you understand? 6 kharab. And what is the function of the cell within the body of a human being? Allah has made such a system, Allahu Akbar, great, that the cells within the body of a person, they keep on multiplying, increasing. They're always being manufactured. And the old ones are dying. The old ones are withering away, dying. For example, you left home and you came to the masjid. The cells, they wither away and they fall away and die. And within 6 months, you become a new human being. A totally new human being, a new system, a new recharge or revival or refreshment within our body. After 6 months, all of our old cells have gone. The kidneys, the liver, the lungs, the heart, all of the organs. We have a totally new system. The old cells, they wither and die and fall away, and the new cells are produced and manufactured, and they increase and multiply. And 6 kharab always are present within the body of a person. And everyone who is sitting, that doesn't matter. And how many cells will have 6 kharab? Every man and woman. And consider now we're sitting in dhikr. Now let's look at the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when a person learns the dhikr of the heart, Allah tells us, when a person does the dhikr of the heart, dhikr khafi, the person who has learned dhikr of the heart, then 90% of the people here, I will consider they've learned dhikr from me. You're so fortunate and lucky. And how unfortunate is that person who has not learned the dhikr of the heart? And imagine this, that dhikr of the heart, we cannot do ourselves. We have to learn this. We have to learn this. The qalbi dhikr, to remember Allah in the heart, which makes the heart alive. The qalbi dhikr, dhikr e khafi, the silent dhikr of the heart. And this gives the massive, massive result. When a person learns the dhikr of the heart and the shaykh gives that dhikr, then what happens? Allahu Akbar. That his whole wujud becomes a dhakir. His whole body becomes a dhakir. The person who learns dhikr from his shaykh, then musalsal, continuously, he becomes a dhakir from top to bottom. Not just at the top of the bottom, every part of his body, Allah Ta'ala has kept this effect on the dhikr of the heart, Naqshbandi series, Naqshbandi dhikr. A person who just learns the dhikr of the heart, he becomes a dhakir. And we think of this wrong. There's no experience of the dhakir. There's only one net result, that learn dhikr from the shaykh, from the teacher, and you become a dhakir. We don't look at the number. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. So I'm telling you a very important point here. So what does that person become? Allahu Akbar. That there's no proof here on experience or physical experience, or the heart is moving, or you can feel it, that the heart is moving, I can feel it and it's alive. No, Allah says there's one thing, that a person with a true heart, he asks the teacher, please teach me dhikr, and the shaykh, he has gives the regard and the time to the student, and he teaches that dhikr, then that person becomes the dhakir. And after becoming the dhakir, what is his feeling? That every cell, blood cells, every part, every atom, every molecular cell becomes the dhakir in the body of that person. Dhakir is sleeping, walking, talking, traveling. What is that person? He is immersed in the dhikr wala, because he has given his heart to Allah. So this is the first sight of the shaykh. And the tawajjuh, the dhikr, the heart becomes a dhakir. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, what a big gift of Allah. So we remember this on the day of Qiyamah. What is this? Let's go further. So then Allah Ta'ala gives a reward upon this. Allah Ta'ala says, no, just not this. Not just that you've become a dhakir. When a person becomes the dhakir, now it's not necessary that he's doing dhikr or not, that his body is a dhakir. He has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within, because this is the link within, isn't it? He's recognized that Allah is my Rabb. He's doing dhikr. And what is Allah Ta'ala saying? That person's talab and request, that from the direction of that person, the person who is doing dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you the reward on every part of the body that does dhikr of Allah. Reward. So how many hairs are on our body? Every hair that is a dhakir on our body, every hair, Allah Ta'ala says, according to the number, I will give you the daraja and the rank on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. So you have the roots of the hair on the body, the hair on the ears, on the different parts of the body, on the head. Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you so much reward for the dhakir on the day of judgment. Allah says, in Jannah, in paradise, I will give this reward. Let's go further. Let's go further. Because we'll be amazed when we hear this point. Amazed. Okay, fine, we have the hairs on the body, we can count, there are so many hairs, that the hairs, they don't increase, do they? The hairs decrease, that as a person gets older, the hairs, they decrease. Here's a person, the hair grows, then the hair will drop, it will fall. As a person, for example, the beard, the hairs of the beard, they decrease, or the hairs on the head, they start to decrease, they don't increase, do they? They're just like this. So the body, the hairs on the body, they decrease. So the dhikr, the person when he's a dhakir, he'll get the reward in Jannah due to the hairs on the body. Allah says, no, the hairs, I said, do dhikr kathir. Kathir, I will give kathir as well. Now has come towards kathir. How will Allah give kathir? That, yes, there's no reduction in the number here. So how many did I say there are cells in the body? There are trillions. Trillions of cells in the body of a person. 37 or 15 or 70. So when a person does dhikr, then all the trillions of the cells, they are there multiplying and increasing. When a person gets to Yawm al-Qiyamah and to the hereafter, then on one cell, how much reward a person will get in the hereafter? So how many rewards will a dhakir get in the hereafter? Trillions and trillions, the number of cells in our body, the person will get reward. Look at this example. We have 6 trillion or more than that in this time. So when we do dhikr, we've got this much wood. You've got this much wood. I've got this much wood. But look, how old are you? 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. So 80 years of all of the trillions of the cells, 6 trillion by the seconds multiplied by the 80 years. Because they were multiplying and increasing. And when a person dies after 80 years, and that amount of cells, the 6 trillion or the more trillion, and they were dying and then becoming alive again and dying and being replaced again. And all those trillions of cells, and you multiply by the seconds in your life to 80 years. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every part of the body will be presented to a person. For example, a person has died, his hairs will come, his cells will come, everything. All the parts of the body, Allah will collect them, amass them together. For example, state in some narrations that a person, for example, his tooth, it will become as high as the Mount of Hud, because all of the action, everything that dropped on the earth, everything will be gathered, and all the cells that fell and they died and they replaced and multiplied and replaced, they will be there amassed, and all the results, will the rewards will come, and every cell will give a maqam in the hereafter in Jannah and Paradise. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, so now tell me that what will be the reward for doing the dhikr of Allah? That these are the rewards of dhikr that Allah will give. This is one reward which will increase the levels and the darajat. Aha. And the person will succeed whose foundation is strong, and all his deeds will be accepted. So my brothers, dhikr of Allah is a big deed. Allah Ta'ala's special grace and mercy He has given to us. We should learn dhikr. It's essential, important. Tell your families, your close relatives and acquaintances, do dhikr of Allah. Learn dhikr of Allah. At least become the dhakir with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah. We have no importance today what is dhikr, and we realize in a beautiful method and style today that how important is dhikr. We are so content on our amal, our deeds. We count our deeds, brothers, oh servants of Allah, don't count the deeds. Look at the foundation. Look at the foundation. And every second we realize, how is our foundation? Is our foundation strong? All our amal, which are against the sharia, from our eyes and our body, they tell us that our windows are weak, the walls are weak, and the floor is weak, and the ceiling is weak, it's leaking. And then we'll realize that our whole building is weak. Ah, alhamdulillah. And the thing that will strengthen our building, and we have khawf and fear, then we will consider and know that the plaster is good, and the carpet is nice, and the ceiling is strong. And whoever comes now, inshallah, storm or gust of wind, the building will not drop, rather it will increase in strength. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq to do his dhikr. Ameen.